Good evening. This year's LTC theme was God is our refuge, and obviously that's what I wrote my sermon about. And the meaning of refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from a pursuit, danger, or trouble. Other ways to describe a refuge is a sanctuary, a shelter. You could call it a haven, a home, a port of protection, or a place of peace. One of the greatest controversies going on right now in our world is what to do with the refugees from the civil war in Syria. The refugees are having a hard time finding a place of refuge because of accepting nations' fears of terrorists among the refugees. A few years ago, my mom and dad served as foster parents for the state of Oklahoma. Over a period of time, we probably took care of 19 kids, ages ranging from 1 to about 14. 1 week old to about 14 years old. The children often came in great need, and our home became a place of refuge for them. And though my parents are no longer serving as foster parents, they continue to see three of those kids regularly, trying to keep some stability in their lives. And my parents are still we still are a refuge to those children. God is also in the refuge business. Today, I want to look at three passages of Scripture which speak to us about a place of refuge. As the Israelites came out of Egypt and was about to enter the promised land of Canaan, God made provision for an Israelite who would unintentionally kill someone. Moses instructed the Israelites that when they entered the promised land, that they were to set aside cities that were to be cities of refuge. We're reading Numbers 35:6. It says, six of those towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee. When the Israelites had conquered much of Canaan and some of the land on the other side of the Jordan, the Bible says in Joshua 20:1-6, then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders of that city. They are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one accused because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. He is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who was serving at that time, that he may go back to his own home and the town from which he fled. Any of the Israelites or any alien living among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. The cities of refuge were to serve as a place where an innocent person could not be harmed. The cities of refuge stand as a figure of Christ, in whom sinners, you and me, we find a refuge from the devil who wants to destroy our souls. We are to run to Christ with our sins, knowing that he will protect us and forgive us. The last part of Hebrews 6:18 speaks of those who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us. The hope is Christ, and we are to run to him. We are to take refuge in him. The second part of my lesson comes from the book of Psalms. The writer of the psalm placed a lot of emphasis on God being our refuge. In Psalms 5:11, it says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Psalms 31:1-2 says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. And Psalm 62:7 says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. There are literally dozens of passages in the book of Psalms which shows that God is our refuge. My thoughts center on Psalm 46. This psalm begins this way. And it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. This was our LTC shirt for this year that I think Jennifer got us. I don't know. The psalm speaks about chaos, the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, the waters roaring and foaming, and the mountains quaking. The psalm talks about nations being in an uproar and kingdoms failing. All of that sounds a lot like the chaos we find in our world today. One writer noted, "Once upon a time, families were safe places, but abuse and abandonment are now leaving many hurt and deserted. There was a time when schools were safe havens, but guns have found their way into our schools and students are now targets. America was once a sure defense. With guns, missiles, and military might, we could conquer the world. But after 9/11, we are aware that even our security could be breached." So all of us need a place of refuge. The psalmist in the midst of chaos wrote in Psalms 46, 4 through 11, he said, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah." And in the midst of chaos today, we also have God as our refuge. When my papa was in Vietnam, His mother, which would be my great-grandmother, sent him a copy of Psalms 46. He kept it in his wallet through the years until it finally became so worn and torn that he had to throw it away. But my papa didn't think that carrying the words in his wallet mattered. What he did think mattered was that he carried the words in his heart. He said the psalm continues to mean a lot to him today, that God is our refuge and ever-present help in time of trouble. My last passage is found in the little book of Nahum. Nineveh had repented at the preaching of Jonah, but now about 100 years have passed, and Nahum preaches in a time when Nineveh will not repent. Nineveh had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel years before, and now much of Nahum's preaching was to the people of Judah, who would be glad to know that Nineveh would fall. At first, Nahum had words of doom. In Nahum 1:6, he says, "Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him." But then Nahum gives words of hope and encouragement to the people in the next verse in Nahum 1:7. He says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." The message is real for you and me as well. God still cares for all of those who trust in him. In 1 Peter 5:7 it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." In Philippians 4:6-7, he says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." Many of us care about other people and about the troubles they might be having, but we don't have the ability or the power to do anything about it. We have the care, but not the power. God has the care and the power. God is our refuge. That's my encouragement for you today. No matter what the circumstances of life we have, God is our refuge. In this lesson, I've emphasized that we are encouraged to run to Christ, who is our hope. We are encouraged to trust God, who is our refuge, and we are encouraged by remembering that He cares for us and He is all-powerful. There's a song called Awesome God, and I know we all know it, but you could sing that song 10,000 times, and it wouldn't mean a word to anything, to anyone, unless you put your whole trust into God. If there are any of you guys out there tonight who feel the need to respond to the gospel call, please come forward as we stand and we sing.